Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. In life, no house, no home, my Lord on earth might have. In death, no friendly tomb, but what a stranger gave. What may I say? Heaven was his home, but mine the tomb wherein he lay. On the afternoon of Friday, April 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 33, Jesus breathes his last. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Jesus dies. But the death of the Son of God is not an ordinary death. The earth responds to the death of he who laid its foundations. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. These are not the signs of a mere man dying. The earth itself groans. The temple curtain rends from the top to the bottom. Death itself surrenders the saints. The centurion who's standing by sees all of this and confesses, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The signs of his death were enough to convert a pagan. But Christ's whole ministry had been filled with signs. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. The storm is silenced, bread is multiplied, the dead rise. But many refused to believe. And now, even after his death, even after these final great signs, the chief priests and the Pharisees come to Pilate and say, "Sir, we remember how that impostor had said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure." Note that carefully. The Jews had heard his words. They saw his works. But they still hardened their hearts. Now we need to be careful as we enter Holy Week, as we meditate upon our Lord's passion. Because it's very easy to just point the finger at one group of people alone. But that's not what our Lord's passion is about. It's not about blaming the Jews. It's about the blindness of unbelief. See, the Jews' problem is they trusted in the law for their righteousness. But the law does not give life. It only condemns. And for those who trust in it for their salvation, it hardens their heart against the gospel, against salvation. The true problem today is not them. The Jews, Judas, Catholics, Pilate, communists, alt-right, the libs, fill in the blank for whatever group you blame. They're not the problem. Them is not the problem. The problem is sin. What do the scriptures say? Does it say the Jews sinned? The Catholics sinned? The fill in the blank sinned? No. What does it say? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know this, dear Christians. At the beginning of Lent, we sung with David, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." See, we know, dear Christians, from conception to the grave, what does the law do? It observes our symptoms, our sins. And what does it do with those things? Does it save us? No. It diagnoses and exposes the sin in man's heart. It diagnoses and exposes idolaters who crave everything but God's forgiveness and love. It exposes blasphemers who mock their God as he dies for them. It exposes self-proclaimed Sabbath keepers that secretly in their hearts despise God's word and gifts. It shows that we are murderers in heart and deed. It shows that we are adulterers in thoughts and words. It shows that we are thieves, liars, and coveters. See, the law does not save us. It did not save the Jews then, and it does not save you now. Instead, it sentences you to death. So why is it Jesus that's in the tomb? Why didn't he come down from that cross as they're crying out, "Save yourself"? Why doesn't he listen to the Father and break them with a rod of iron, dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel, as the Lord told him to do in Psalm 2? He would be justified. They were sinning. They were wicked. Why? Why doesn't he get down from the cross? Why does he die today? Why is he buried? Because he must keep the law. He must fulfill all righteousness. And so today he rests in the tomb. And he keeps the third commandment. What was the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does Jesus do today? He rests in the tomb. See, Jesus is buried in the afternoon of Friday as they approach the Sabbath. He rests in the tomb. Not as a defeated victim, another person on a slab in a morgue. No, he rests in the tomb as one who is resting from a long day of labor. You see, the Sabbath was given to Israel not just to make them take a day off, but it was given to them that they would remember the Lord's saving work. The Lord taught them in Deuteronomy 5, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out." The Sabbath was not just a mere day of rest from work. It was a day to remember the Lord's work of salvation. And now Jesus fulfills that commandment. He rests in the grave because now he has completed the greater exodus. Not the exodus from Pharaoh and Egypt, but the great exodus from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Though Jesus' body rests in the tomb today, he is not idle. What is he at work doing? Preaching. Peter tells us about Holy Saturday in 1 Peter 3. He says, "He went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison." You see, Holy Saturday is not Christ's defeat. It's not Christ's day to suffer in hell. It's a quiet day of rest when Christ ascends the pulpit in hell and preaches his victory to those who refused to hear it. He preaches to Satan and those condemned in hell. Christ descends into hell not to suffer, but to declare, "Satan, you are silenced. Death, you shall devour my sheep no more. Grave, your victory is over." On Holy Saturday, we celebrate that the strong man is now bound. What happens on Holy Saturday is that Jesus creeps into the strong man's house. He has bound Satan, death, and the grave, as they were busy feasting and celebrating the death of God's Son. They're dozing and in a drunken stupor, and he enters the hall of feasting, like Grendel entering the hall of the Danes. He attacks them. He binds the strong man and he plunders the realm of the dead. Matthew alone records this strange and glorious sign. "And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Why this final miracle? This final sign? It teaches us, dear Christians, that Christ's death gives us life. You heard in our Old Testament reading about the time that when the prophet Elijah had been buried, and a man, his corpse, was thrown into Elisha's tomb. What happened? The dead man was revived. He got out of the tomb and walked around. Now today, at Christ's death, the tomb loses its power. The grave has lost its grip. As Jesus dies, he makes full atonement for sin. His blood is shed in your place. The grave cannot hold the saints. And so Matthew records for us that the saints were raised. He doesn't tell us who. He doesn't give us specifics. Was it Elisha? Was it John the Baptist? We'll find that out in the life to come. But the saints were raised to show us, dear Christians, that your sin is now paid for. Your guilt is now removed. Your death has been claimed by someone else. As we have been singing this week, mind the tomb wherein he lay. The tomb that Christ is laid in today is your tomb, dear Christian. But now, because Christ has died, death no longer has dominion over him. And if death no longer has dominion over Christ, it no longer has dominion over you. Christ's victory began at the cross on Friday, continues in the grave on Saturday, and bursts forth in the resurrection on Sunday. Because while the world is hard at work, scheming, trying to fulfill the law, Christ rests and fulfills the law in your place. While the Jews are busy trying to make a show of keeping the law, Jesus keeps it perfectly. And while you and they deserved eternal damnation, Christ suffered that for you and for them, whoever them may be. Now, dear Christians, your grave is no longer your eternal resting place, for its narrow chamber is where he keeps your body safe in peaceful sleep. And as you confessed, on the last day he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.